When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I would highly recommend the Sluts and Scholars podcast. It's run by my friend Nicoletta, who is a licensed MFT and sexologist. In fact, it was named one of Cosmopolitan's hottest podcasts to listen to. Combining irreverence and expertise, on the docket is anything remotely related to sexual, reproductive, and bodily autonomy. Check it out.
Have you ever felt judged for your sexual choices or your sexuality? Ever been called a slut? Whether you're in politics, a parent, a sex worker, or just wearing a short dress, people make assumptions about you, your character, and your ability to be a competent professional based on who you did last night. My name is Nicoletta Heidegger, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist and sexologist, and I am here to invite you to join me in taking back the word slut on my podcast, Sluts and Scholars. Sluts and Scholars is an interview-style podcast that features diverse professionals who also like and value sex, or at least talking about it. Join in as we discuss how to navigate sexuality in this culture by having conversations that will help you talk smart and fuck smarter. With a wide array of sex-positive and shame-free topics, there is something for you to elevate your pleasure. Sluts and Scholars is a proud member of the Pleasure Podcast Network, and you can find out more info, subscribe, and listen at slutsandscholars.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast, which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Yes, I am back in the saddle after an interesting and difficult few weeks. Most of you guys know what I'm talking about, but I'm very glad to be back. I just want to quickly give a throw to my sponsor, Fume. Sponsor is a revolutionary non-electronic device designed to transform your negative habits. It is not a vape. Instead of pods filled with potentially harmful chemicals, Fume uses cores infused with plants like peppermint for delicious natural flavors. Head to tryfume.com and use code HOLLY to get 10% off when you get the journey pack today. That's tryfume, F-U-M.com. Okay. I'm very excited for my guest today. She shot her first scene the day after her 18th birthday, and then she retired at 19. Now, a decade later, she is back to tell her story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Welcome, Jessie Rogers.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. So, Jessie, you definitely have a story, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll start at the beginning.
Yes.
So how did you get into the adult industry?
Well, I saw an ad on Craigslist.
Which is the best place to look for a job.
And it just said modeling. Like, it didn't specify, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had done modeling previously. But, you know, obviously I never did nude modeling.
Right.
So I went and talked to the agent. And she was like, oh, basically it's porn. And so she ended up booking me a shoot with Penthouse.
Which is a good way to start.
Yeah.
I mean, Penthouse is like, to start with them is, you know, that's good.
Yeah. And it wasn't anything hardcore. It was just pictures.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I ever did. And I didn't end up sticking with her. She pretty much just booked me that. And then I bounced around with other agents.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was an interesting day. They took pictures of me and then they were doing another scene, like in the same house. It was Misty Stone and I can't remember who the male performer was,
but mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't forget Misty Stone.
Yeah.
She's like such like a powerful force of
right.
a character who we love.
Yes.
But yeah, I can see you forgetting the male performer, but nobody forgets Misty when they meet her. So you did that Penthouse shoot. Mm-hmm. What was the next shoot that you worked on?
I know I did XR and Foctard 18. I can't remember which one came first.
And were they sex scenes?
Yes.
And
boy,
was it
girl.
Boy, girl.
Yes.
So how was your first boy, girl scene? Because that's obviously a much different experience mm-hmm. than a solo scene. Like, were you nervous going into
it?
Oh,
yeah. I was very awkward. Both of those scenes, actually, the Fucktard 18 and the XR, I was very awkward.
And then, like, what was running through your head when you were on set? Were you thinking, like, what were you most nervous about?
I think everything. I don't know. I didn't know, like, how to look good for the camera, you know. I also get nervous, like, meeting people in general.
Mm-hmm.
So then you add that layer of, like, okay, now you have to perform, too. And I was like,
Yeah. Do you remember who your scene partners were?
The XR was... He was exclusive with XR. I remember who he was, but I just can't remember his name. And then the Fucktard 18, it was the guy that Josh, he owned that website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know who that is. So how was the scene in general? Like, was it what you expected? Was it worse than you expected? Better than you expected?
It wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't either.
You probably didn't even know what to expect, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those two, I didn't have a bad experience. It was just, I guess, normal, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
So afterwards, you were maybe, you know, thinking to yourself, okay, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
I could continue to do
this.
Exactly. And you did. And... How did your career progress from then? Because, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, we know that you had some bad experiences.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. how long before you started to maybe think twice about being in the adult industry?
Well, the first one actually happened within a few months. It was before I got my boob job.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up getting flown to the East Coast, and it was actually just solo shoot. So I thought, okay, this is going to be easy.
Right.
Like somewhere towards the end of the shoot, is there anything I can't say?
No.
Okay. My vagina started to get sore and swollen because I was putting like really weird things in there all day, like, you know, brooms, bananas, you know, things like
that. I feel like I know what website you were shooting for.
So I tried to say something, and the guy was like, oh, well, we're not going to pay you if you stop now. You've shot all of these other scenes. Just finish these next two. So I was like, oh, my gosh. So I called my agent, and he seemed surprised, even though he sent girls there all the time, right? And I ended up finishing the shoot, but in one of the scenes, I was literally crying because I was so sore. And then the last one was when I discovered I could do anal very easily. And okay. It was like my saving grace. I was like, yes, okay, I am going to do anal for this last set. And that was pretty easy for me. And then other than that, I had a few other experiences like down the road after I got my boob job.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to touch upon this. Okay. Because yeah, Day of Solos, one would think is not like such a big deal. Not, mm-hmm. you know, hard to do. That's yeah. not the kind of scene that people would expect one to say they had a bad experience right, yeah. on. But, sorry, when you said like a broom, I was right. kind of like, what? And it's just, I'm really sorry and I'm so sad to hear this because it's incredibly frustrating that you would be in pain and mm-hmm. that the shooter wouldn't take that into account. And unfortunately, I think that this happens, you know, often, not often, that's not right. the right word, because there's so many wonderful male directors yeah. out there. There oh, really, yeah. really are. I want to make sure that I say that. But I do hear that sometimes on set with men, because it's like, because they don't have a vagina,
yeah,
it's understand. Like they don't understand, like right. how could you be sore from sticking a broom up your right. vagina? Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And
it's like, oh, why can't you shoot back to back?
Yeah, you know? I know. And the fact that you had to go anal mm-hmm. to like save your vagina,
right.
is like, that's pretty shitty. No pun intended.
Yeah.
So that just, yeah, that makes me sad. And it makes me sad that your needs like weren't, I don't know. I hate hearing stories like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, but that's not the end of it. So
yeah.
you had, tell me about your other experiences.
Okay. So I went from one agent to another because mm-hmm. this one that I had that sent me to that shoot, he was also very unorganized. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I should go with this one. He seems more professional. He has all these big name girls. And in some ways he was, but I do feel that he had like impaired empathy. Like,
that's a I good would, way to put it.
Yes. I would tell him I was sick, you know, strep throat, a cold, yeast infection. He would still somehow finagle me into going to set and say things like, oh, you know, companies would rather work with a sick girl than lose thousands of dollars, and then call me and, you know, make sure I was still going and all of these things. And or even if I would just ask for a day off just to take a break, he would pressure me to still continue working. I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But it wasn't like the straw that broke the camel's back. I still kept shooting and just dealing with his shit. It was one incident with a male performer that I had that kind of just completely shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
It was someone that I kind of trusted. Like, I hung out with him off camera. I would go to his house. You know, so he had my consent to have sex, but the way that we had sex the last time I saw him, it wasn't consensual. So it was so long ago. I think I've gotten over it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay, so you have this fucking awful experience. So, right. And then you try to talk to people about it and mm-hmm. no one's listening to you. Is that when you decided to leave yeah. the industry?
Yeah, I had a talk with my agent and I told him what happened. I don't know why I thought I would get any kind of empathy from him. But he just like gave me this blank stare and was like, "So, did you guys have fun?" Like that was his response to me. and then yeah, I told him like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to take a month off and see, you know, try to decide if I want to continue to stay in this industry or not." And yeah, I ended up deciding to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the last shoots that I did, which, by the way, wasn't the gangbang. Everyone thinks I had a bad experience in the gangbang. Oh my God, that was so rough. Yeah, it was rough, but nobody hurt me. Not like I didn't get injured. Everything was consensual. So right. that wasn't like the bad one of the bad experiences that I had. One of the other ones that I had was like basically getting injured mm-hmm. on set. I was doing a girl anal shoot, which never got released because within like the first 2 seconds, the first position I was in doggy, she just like rams this huge rippled glass dildo or glass toy inside my butt. And I told her to stop because I was in pain. And then I turned around and there's like blood all over the bed. Yeah. And I've had instances where I cut a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This it wasn't like that. Like, it wasn't like a small little
tear.
Right, which I can deal with that. I was still bleeding, like, even after I got home. I was still in pain. I had to reschedule shoots, like, weeks out. And I also, it was like, it was really painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that happened, she stopped. I'm assuming you guys didn't finish the scene.
Oh, no. Absolutely okay. not.
So after this happens, you retire and then you speak out about your experiences.
Right.
And did you feel like you just had to say something, like you needed to have a voice because nobody was listening to you?
Yeah, like I think I was just frustrated that people in the industry didn't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything publicly right away. I tried to talk to people within the industry first.
Right.
So I think, yeah, that added to the frustration. And I guess I had a lot of healing to do, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Do you... It's like, I don't even want to ask you if you, like, regret speaking out about the industry.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, absolutely see your motivations right. behind it now. But now, like, with some perspective, like, how do you feel about that time in your life? Would you have approached anything differently?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think, you know, I was really young. Mm-hmm. So it's, I guess, just part of the process of
yeah.
growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like, I mean, you know, as you know, there's been like some pushback. There's always pushback if like somebody has a bad experience in the adult industry and they come forward and they talk about
mm-hmm.
it. And I understand the pushback because there is a lot of like anti-porn activism out there by like religious right groups. And they're looking for anything to right. latch on to say like the entire industry right, is terrible. Right, yeah. It's all bad. Everyone has these experiences,
yeah.
which isn't true. But I also think it's very important for the adult industry to take accountability for situations like this.
Yeah.
You know, you should have been heard. Your agent should have, you know, cared that you had this experience.
Yeah.
Like, you should have been able to, you know, take a break or process this or, you know, even, you know, speak out against these people who basically abused you.
Yeah.
And so I think it's also important that you know, people understand that everybody's experiences are valid and listen to experiences like yours and learn from them and grow from them. Right. Because the adult industry is not perfect.
Yeah.
Like there's a fuck ton of problems with it.
Yeah.
And it's so much better now than it was. I've been in the industry for like 25 years and it's changed dramatically. Uh-huh. And I'm really happy with where we're at now. I think we're really like in such a better place, and there's so many things that have come up now that make it feel like a better place to work. But I've had times that I've been in the industry where I have also questioned, like, what am I doing here?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I always shot very kind of soft, sensual scenes, but I've had situations where I've had a model on set who came to set and like didn't want to work because she said her vagina hurt. And her agent told me that she was lying and that she was That's fine terrible. And that I should just shoot the scene and, you know,
oh my gosh,
and tell her to get over it. And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like I can't. And then, you know, they're threatening me and she doesn't even want me to say anything because she doesn't want her agent to yell at her. And I'm like, girl, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Like, clearly you're in pain.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy that we're even, that you even came to set today, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like so much about putting the dollar before the person.
Right.
And that is dehumanizing.
Was this during that same time frame?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I really see like such a huge difference now, and it's really come from these personal platforms,
right?
Like OnlyFans, which has put power in the hands of the performers.
Yeah.
And now, because you guys can say "fuck you," exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I can make money on my own.
Yeah.
Now you have the power where brands are finally kind of recognizing that and being like, "Oh, maybe we should treat these people better."
Yeah.
You know? And that's just like, it's totally changed like the culture on set.
Right.
And I've always tried to cultivate like a safe working environment and like take people into consideration. But, you know, like I as a producer have been pressured by companies that I've worked for and stuff to get certain things done that, you know, I felt wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just changed so much. So I'm glad.
Do you think a lot of the bad eggs have gotten weeded out for most part?
Yes. Yeah. And I think social media has a huge factor in that too, because, and we really saw it even like during the pandemic, there was kind of like this second Me Too wave, again, fueled by the fact that performers now have financial independence. Mm-hmm. And so they have the freedom to speak their minds. And girls started talking about negative experiences they had with certain performers or directors. And other girls were like, oh my God, me too. You know what I mean? And then, and it just like kind of word got around. And then, you know, there are people who are not working anymore because of it. There are people who disappeared for a while and then I hear are still like working on the fringes. I mean, you know, it's like, it is what it is. I mean, the industry, it's a collection of small businesses.
Right.
So you can't technically blacklist someone. You can just get the word out and then, you know, hope that people make an informed decision about
exactly
whether or not they want to work with them. And that's the key.
Right.
I mean, when I was working, when this whole thing happened, you know, and I worked for MindGeek, they were quite alarmed to hear, you know, that some of the directors that they had working for them, you know, were just, and even like, things that one may think is not necessarily a huge deal, but maybe using their positions of power to convince girls to give them like a blowjob in the car or something. Cause then the girl thought like she would get a starring role in a feature.
Right.
And they actually like called around and talked to agents and various girls and were like, you know, full disclosure, totally anonymous. Like, who's a problem? Like, we need to know. And they fired some people.
I heard that. That's really good.
I was not one of those people.
I don't think anybody would want to fire you.
No, thank you. But I mean, like, I didn't think that I would be because I've never tried to get anyone to give me a blowjob in a car or anything else like that. But it did actually feel really good to know that, like, everybody, you know, said that they had a good experience. And it felt good to know that, like, the fact that I had stuck to my guns mm-hmm. in a lot of situations and not pushed girls into positions that they would be uncomfortable right. in, even though I felt punished at the time by, like, whoever I was working for, that in the end, like, that worked out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to talk about why Jesse has come back, what she's up to now, and so much more. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY.
All right, everybody, we're back. Okay, so let's talk about happier times, yes. which is hopefully now. So you've come back after a decade.
Right.
What can you maybe talk a little bit about what you've been doing in the last 10 years and what made you decide to come back?
So I think it was in 2019 that I started to get the idea of, you know, maybe I should do something online. I didn't know, like, what exactly, but I saw that social media was really taking off and that might be a good idea to take advantage of that. So I still had my Twitch channel, which, so I pretty much deleted everything except for that for some reason. And so I started streaming here and there. And it wasn't right away that people started asking me for OnlyFans, but at some point they did. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know so much about it. And then I started looking it up. And I also had a friend, Phoenix Azkani. She was doing it at the time. And so I started asking her questions about it. And I would always see her put something in her story, like, if you pay for OnlyFans, you're not paying for a company or something like that. You're mm-hmm. just helping a girl pay her groceries for the week or something like that. She would post memes like that. So I was like, this seems interesting. So after a few months, I decided to start an OnlyFans. And I'm trying to remember. I think I only started by, like, posting some pictures. And then I started to play around with the different features, like the live streaming and the messages, making videos and things like that. And, yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I still like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find – were you – like, how quick was the onboarding of, like, old fans, like people who recognized you from before?
You mean, like, on Twitch or
on OnlyFans. On so OnlyFans? When you came back to OnlyFans, was it kind of a little bit slow at first? Like, you weren't really, you kind of dipping your toes in the water, or did you see, like, a lot of your old fans, people who knew you, jump in and be like, oh my God, like, you're back.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the middle because okay. I had an old subreddit that I didn't use. Obviously, it's like the communities, but someone posted it on there, mm-hmm. and so I got the old fans from there mm-hmm. as well, and they were like, "Oh, all excited about it and everything." But yeah, I did look kind of different because I always had like straight. Blonde hair when I was shooting in the past, and I've been keeping my hair natural for the most part. I mean, straight today, but I usually have it curly and it's a lot darker than it was before. So like sometimes when I was live streaming on Twitch, people didn't even recognize me.
Really?
So, yeah.
I have to say, you literally look exactly the same. Like, you haven't aged at all.
Thank you.
You really look the same. It's pretty remarkable.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously you've been like taking care of yourself since you've been out.
Yeah.
Were you nervous to come back at all? Were you nervous about getting backlash from people who were like, you went out there and you badmouthed the industry and now you're back? Like, what the fuck? Did you get any of that?
No, I wasn't, because it's like, what we do, we get backlash anyways working in this industry. So it's like, if it happens, it happens. Then
yeah
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But so, for the most part, people have been really nice.
So you weren't worried about people like in the industry being like, why are you back?
Not really. No. Yeah. I figured, you know, the ones that would like actually care would just try to understand, you know, as opposed to, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Well, and also too, coming back as an independent content creator, you know, the power is in your hands.
Right.
You don't like have to go to set and see any of these people that were in the industry before,
right, exactly,
or directors or anything like that. So
yeah,
you have a lot more control over
exactly.
What, you probably felt a lot safer.
Yes.
So yes. How have you found the industry to be different since you were last year?
Well, we have a lot more options now. I think obviously OnlyFans definitely changed the game in that way. For me personally, I'm doing everything independent. No more ever having an agent. And I've also been taking things slower. And then as far as my OnlyFans goes, I do that independently as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe I'll get to a point where I'll take on more help. But right now, I'm the only person that I trust to do all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, and you have shot for some studios,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have.
So tell me about the studios that you have shot for and what made you decide to go back and work for them.
Yeah, so the fact that I'm doing self-booking now, I think it's just a lot easier to pick and choose what, like, because I remembered that I had a good experience with Mike Adriano, so I was always open to shooting with him again. And he actually initially reached out to me in 2020 as, like, a few months in of me starting an OnlyFans, but I wasn't ready to shoot boy-girl yet. I was just, like, you know, taking it slow. And then 2022 rolls around, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I decided to shoot with him, and we shot 4 scenes for his company.
And how was that coming back to set?
It was good. Yeah. Like all of his crew is really, really nice. So that makes it a lot easier too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I was definitely a little bit nervous, but it was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, like, what would you say to your 18-year-old self now? Like, do you actually wish that maybe you had waited till you were older to get in? Or do you think that would have made a difference in your experience?
I mean, I honestly don't regret anything, because I wouldn't be where I am now, and I wouldn't be making the decisions that I do now, because I feel like now it's like I can do it right because of what I experienced.
Yeah.
And I can look back and be like, okay, I should do it this way because this happened in the past. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And I hear stories like the one that you had, the ones that you've had. And I think about, you know, how we do productions now where we have boundary checklists.
Which, oh yeah,
I think are so great, and it's funny because those have existed in the kink community for a long time, but I guess in like straight mainstream porn, people never thought that that needed to be considered.
Yeah, I remembered that. And that kink was the only one, pretty much the only one. That
well, because they were doing some gnarly shit to you, right? So it's like they have to like be like, "Are you okay being like hung upside down and like penetrated with your mouth gagged so you can't say anything?" Yeah. But you know, they're very careful about making sure that people's boundaries are respected and not crossed, just because I think like in that situation that could easily happen if you don't take those measures to make sure that like everything's kosher. And we're just kind of lazy in mainstream. I don't know. Right. I mean, I always felt that as a woman, and because I never really shot super rough stuff.
Right.
You know, if I shot a scene where, I mean, I would never shoot a scene where a guy would dunk your head in the toilet. Like, there's no fucking way I would ever, like, that would never happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would think that I would be able to see if a girl was in distress and I could tell, like, wait, we need to cut. She doesn't seem okay. But I've realized as people have talked about their experiences and as we've been doing these boundary checklists that that is actually not true. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know what's going on in someone's head. When they're in the middle of a scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I can't trust my female intuition.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And so I really love these boundary checklists now.
Yeah.
Because we can really just go over everything beforehand. And, you know, it's discussed, you know, between the models, in front of the crew. Like, so everybody knows, like, what's okay and what's not okay. And just really making sure that to articulate that you have complete control over the stop and the start and let us know if something's happening that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
We have talent assistants on set now that are literally there. It's just there to advocate for you. So it's just like the environment is so much better and so much different.
That's
and
good.
I wish you'd had that 10 years ago. You know?
And did that start after that Me Too movement that you were talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, there was a lot of talk because, you know, a lot of performers didn't come back to shooting for brands after COVID because they were making so much money on their OnlyFans. Why the fuck would they? You know? And so I think a lot of brands realized like, oh, wow, we don't have the power like we used to. Like the balance of power has shifted.
Right.
And we really need to consider, you know, these people's needs and wants. And so there was a lot of internal meetings. And you know, some people got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came back to working, there was a whole new like structure and method of working put into place. And I, for one, was like really happy about that.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's a much better environment to work in now.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
But I feel good about it.
Are you still working for MindGeek?
I actually not in so many ways. I'm still working with them, but I'm no longer working for them. A lot of people know, I recently actually left my 12-year gig shooting for Twisties.
Oh.
I'm with a metaverse startup called Joy. So I'm full time with them, but we're working with MindGeek still
because
Browsers is part of our metaverse. So I'm still working with them, but not like for them specifically.
Yeah.
But they're good people. I've always had a great experience with them and they're very good with the models and they treat them really well. So I would say if you're going to shoot again for brands, even though I'm not the one doing the shooting anymore, I bet you anything Twisties would love to have you back.
Oh yeah, I would love to.
And I think you would have a really good experience.
Yeah, I always had a good experience with Twisties.
Yeah. So you're now married to someone who is not in the porn industry. How did he know that you had done porn when you first started dating, or was that a conversation that you had to have with him? And how did all of that, how did he take it?
It was a conversation, and it wasn't like a big deal. He was just like, okay. And he's always been so supportive of everything, which is like the complete opposite of how I've ever experienced relationships. Like I've only ever had pretty much everybody in my life, agents, boyfriends, and all of that stuff, always trying to control me and you know, be mean to me and things like that. And he's always been extremely supportive and like he's the first, also like the first person that I've ever met that encourages me to take a break. Whereas, you know, every situation that I've been in, even past relationships, people are always trying to push me. So that's something I really love about him. Yeah.
It means that he loves you. Yeah. He cares about
exactly.
You
as a person.
And your health and as a person, and not about like what you represent or what you can get for him.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, that's all like any of us can ever hope for, right?
Yeah.
Do you, how did he come into your life? I mean, obviously we don't have to go into too much detail, but I think about my relationship with my husband, who's same thing, like he's doesn't try to control me, supports me, wants only what's best for me. Whereas I had a previous marriage where it was the opposite, very much tried to control me. And I feel that it was a lot of like self-work that I did that got me to a place where I was open to that kind of person coming into your life. Is that your experience, do you think?
I think so. Yeah, because the relationship that I had before him, it was like right after I had retired from the industry. Mm-hmm. So I had so much stuff to heal from. Mm-hmm. And And then I took like 2 years. Was it 2 years? Maybe like a year or two to just stay single and went to therapy and started journaling a lot. And then I met him and things just worked out. We've been together ever since, like almost 7 years now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. It's actually like about as long as me and my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that the universe brings you the right person when you're ready for it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I think that sometimes we fall prey to the idea that a man is going to rescue us from this like situation that we're in, and we can be broken and he's going
to
heal us.
Yeah, but we have to heal ourselves.
I find that when we heal ourselves, that's when the right person comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm glad that you had that experience. So what were the biggest lessons that you learned about yourself during your time off from the industry?
I think one thing that I've taken away from all of this is especially looking back at how I went from as like when I was in the industry, I loved it. And then after I had those bad experiences, I hated it. So I've kind of learned to not have like black and white thinking towards things, especially when I work different jobs. I'm like, okay, every job kind of has its pros and cons. I think I have like a more neutral mentality on things now.
Yeah.
As opposed to like that black and white thinking. I think also the other reasons, like our frontal cortex isn't developed until we're like between 23 to 25. So I think that was the other thing that contributed to me being so emotional and with the my perspective on
absolutely. I mean, but then that is an argument, and I don't know if you have an opinion on this, because some people do, some people don't, that, you know, people shouldn't be able to get into porn until they're older, like 21 or something like that. How do you feel about that?
It's hard because you can do so many other things at 18. Yeah. So it's like, if you're going to gatekeep that, then you should gatekeep other things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So on one hand, I do, but it's like on the other hand, I don't. 'Cause other girls have had experiences where like porn was kind of saved them in a way, if like they were stripping and in an abusive relationship, and then they came to porn and it helped them get out of that situation. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you literally said like everything that I think.
Yeah.
Thank you so much on that because I get that question too.
Right.
And it's like, well, if you can join the military.
Right, exactly.
And go off and like fight, you know, in Afghanistan and die.
Yeah.
For your country. Like if we've decided that somebody's mature enough to make that right. kind of like serious life and death decision, however you feel about the army.
Yeah.
Then that person should be able to make those same decisions regarding like exactly. doing porn or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is kind of a difficult question.
Yeah.
And also same thing about what I've talked to girls who are like, thank God I got into porn when yeah. I was 18. Cause yeah, it saved me. It got me out of a bad situation. I was poor. I had nothing. And this got me, you know, where I'm independent. And then other girls have said like, I was not ready. I was not emotionally ready. I made the wrong decisions. Right. So in those situations, the only thing that I can really think is like, you know, let's just try to have more literacy out there mm-hmm. and more education and knowledge right. about getting into the adult industry and
right.
about like
exactly.
the pros and the cons. And let's, as the industry, try to improve our working conditions for people.
Yeah.
So that girls don't have experiences like you had.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think that has happened. Again, like, it ain't perfect. There's still, you know, some people out there, and there are still some sets, I'm sure, where girls don't have good experiences. But I feel like overall it's much better than it used to be.
Yeah, it's definitely been more positive for most people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. It should be more out there what the cons are, so at least people are aware before they get into it.
Mm-hmm. What would you give advice, you know, having considered everything that you've been through? What advice would you give to new girls considering getting into the industry?
Do your research, I guess. and make sure it's something that you really want to do, that because the content's going to be out there forever. And sometimes people think like, oh, you know, people aren't going to find out. Well, yeah, I think people are going to find out. Even if you do like faceless or I don't know, there's different ways that people dodge making content. There's always a chance that someone's going to find out. So I think having that awareness, and I think also they should like it in some way.
Yeah, I mean, like, that seems like an obvious answer, but you're right. You're right, because it doesn't matter, you know, how much money you make. It'll never be enough to make up for if you feel like you've compromised, like, your integrity or whatever you want to call it. There's not a amount of money that can bring that back.
Right.
So make sure that you're someone who enjoys having sex on camera.
Yeah.
First. Before you just think about the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone. I enjoy a lot of different aspects about it. Like, I enjoy the production, you know, in addition to the sex. So, yeah, pretty much just that.
So are you happy to be back?
Yes, I'm very happy to be back.
Good. Well, I'm happy you're back. Jesse, thank you so much for coming on. I know this was kind of a hard conversation in a lot of ways. But I'm really glad that you did. And I really hope that your story will help other people navigate these waters in a better way.
Yes, I hope so too.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you online?
I have a link tree, and that has pretty much all of my links. It's linktree.com/mzjesse, and then OnlyFans also has, it's the same thing, onlyfans.com/mzjesse.
Fantastic. And then you guys can, of course, find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Holly Randall. Somehow I'm still on TikTok. I don't know how that happened. They want me gone so bad, but I'm like hanging on by a fucking thread. So if you're on TikTok, I'm at Holly Randall Unfiltered. Go ahead and follow me there. And of course, if you want to support this show and watch these interviews live, get access to bonus Q&As like I'm going to do with Jesse right after this, go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for being here, and I will see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.